Now, here in Wisconsin today, when we think of postpartum depression, it's likely the struggles of new moms that are foremost on our mind. Even the word postpartum is typically associated with someone who just gave birth.
But fathers can suffer from postpartum depression as well. According to the organization Postpartum Support International, about 1 in 10 dads experience depression after the birth of a child. That nonprofit offers peer support groups and helps people connect with resources in their community.
We learn about how to recognize the signs of postpartum depression in new fathers and the latest research in this area with Tova Walsh, an associate professor at the Sandra Rosenbaum School of Social Work at UW-Madison. Her research focuses on improving the health and well-being of families. Tova, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Kate.
Well, paternal postpartum depression, it's real, but do you think, why don't we hear more about it? Do you think we discount it as a society?
I think we do still really overlook it. I think we are rightfully paying a lot of attention these days to postpartum depression in moms more so than we used to, and that's a big improvement. But I think we're still overlooking that all parents, regardless of gender, can struggle after having a new baby, and sometimes that gets to the point of clinical depression.
What does your data tell you? What are the numbers when it comes to new dad's mental health?
So the research suggests that as many as 1 in 10 new fathers will struggle with depression after the birth of a baby. And that is about half as frequent as postpartum depression in moms, and still pretty frequent. And I think an important thing to know is that when both parents are struggling, you know, that's extra hard on a family and compounds the impacts for the family.
What can it do to bonding when there is one parent or both who is struggling with postpartum depression?
So with fathers, similar to mothers, when they are struggling with depression, it can really interfere with bonding with the baby. It makes it harder to connect. It makes it harder to be really responsive and attuned to the baby's needs if you are struggling with your own needs and feeling really kind of checked out. And when both parents are struggling, it's even harder really to carry the weight of buffering and kind of picking up for your partner if you're struggling yourself. So one of the things that we know about depression in any parent is that it has an important impact on both the relationship with the child, relationship with partner. And so the whole family is really impacted. This is a disease that impacts families.
Is postpartum depression in fathers new to the research landscape in depression, or has it always been there?
So it is newer that we are studying and learning more about postpartum depression, what it is and how to treat it. And one of the things that we're learning from the research is that it's not just a direct translation of look for those same symptoms that we are used to seeing in moms and see whether they are there in dads, that in fact, sometimes it can present a bit differently in dads. So fathers, for example, are more likely to feel more irritable or to mask their symptoms, like doing things like if they are folks who tend to drink, doing more drinking, staying at work longer, kind of avoidant behaviors, as opposed to saying, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling sad, some of the things that we might be used to thinking of as a marker of depression. So one of the reasons we might overlook it is if we're not looking for the right things.
And when we're looking for the right things, are men likely to maybe underreport the symptoms of depression or not speak up when they're struggling?
So men are more likely than women to underreport the symptoms of depression and less likely to speak up when they're struggling. And I think it even goes beyond men themselves, but because we're not talking as much and thinking as much about depression in men and depression in fathers, the people who surround men, the people who care about men, their partners, their families, their friends and colleagues and others are less likely to notice and suggest that they seek help. So one thing that I think is really important is for kind of all of us to be aware that this is a real thing and be paying attention so that if we see signs of depression in a dad, we can check in with him and ask him how he's doing and encourage him if he is really struggling to seek out help for himself.
Well, a mom who's just given birth and there's so much on her plate, but also it's okay to be able to turn to the spouse and say, hey, I want to check in. How are you doing? What can that conversation be like?
I think that's such a good starting place, right where you named, to just check in with each other regularly and to be sure that that conversation is going in both directions. So one thing that I'll hear in research with fathers when I'm having conversations with dads is say, well, it's such a hard time for her. And she just gave birth and there's so much that's going on and I don't want to burden her with my problems, or, you know, what do I have to, you know, she's done the hard work of kind of carrying the baby. What do I have to feel so down about? And so I think it's really critical to recognize that there's room for everyone to be struggling and that, you know, it's not kind of a trade-off. And so having moms and dads checking in with each other, having people who care about the family check in with both parents is so key, and recognizing that you can still be a good partner, even if you're struggling. And it's not a thing that you have to kind of downplay your own struggling in order to show up for your partner. That in fact, you know, taking care of yourself is a really important step to supporting your relationship with your partner and your child.
I remember that moment when my twins were born and we were both back to work and my spouse stopped to give me a bagel and cream cheese and just looked at me and said, oh my God, I'm so tired. How tired are you? And just we had this moment of locked eyes tiredness. But I think it was such a, and I just remember it today of how in that moment of exhaustion, we also felt supportive of each other. You know, are you looking for those little moments as well?
Yes. So that moment that you're describing is so relatable to me, and I'm sure to kind of every parent who's listening. And those kinds of moments are so important for everyone, and those, you know, check-in points and touch points. And, you know, and I think it's important to distinguish for all parents, all new parents, you're going to be exhausted. Things have changed in a big way. You are adjusting to the new role. There are changes in your relationship with your partner. Kind of there are so many things going on. And so ups and downs are expected. Feeling a little bit down or feeling a little more irritable when you're not sleeping at all is to be expected, you know, and hopefully gets better over time as your baby gets to be a better sleeper and as you adjust. But what's really important to pay attention to is if it's not getting better, if it's a prolonged period of time that you are really not feeling like yourself, that you are struggling with basic life things, that maybe you're not able to have a moment like that with your partner, you are just feeling really disconnected, that those could be signs of clinical depression.
And that's difficult too, because there are these swings in, you know, it's a stressful, extremely stressful time. And it's hard to tell the difference between these normal challenges of being a parent and what could be symptoms of depression.
That's right. And so that's a great thing to check out, to talk about, sorry, with a medical provider. If you're not sure, to say, and it can be to your own provider, it can be to your child's pediatrician, to describe some of what you're feeling. And they can help you make that distinction between absolutely what you're describing is, you know, the ups and downs of new parenthood, or it sounds like this goes a little bit deeper and it might be that you would benefit from having some therapy or talking about medication with a provider. So if you are kind of on the fence and wondering, I think it's a great topic to bring up and check in with someone who's a professional who can help you sort that out.
We're talking about paternal postpartum depression and its effects. Tova Walsh is an associate professor at UW-Madison. Tova, you know, how might perhaps the conventional ideas about masculinity and fatherhood impact paternal postpartum depression? What do you see there?
So that is a big factor in difficulty recognizing depression in men. So men recognizing it in themselves, others recognizing it in men, is that if we have this expectation that, you know, fathers should be strong and protectors and providers, that can kind of block us from seeing that also men might need support themselves, that their role as new parents is not only to be a supportive partner, but they are parents themselves and can need support themselves. And so that is something to kind of be tuned into, that if the norms in your family or in a family that you know are really kind of expecting of a dad that he just be stoic, that you might not be allowing space for him to acknowledge some of the things that he's struggling with, and that it is really important to kind of pay attention and check in with him and reach out and, you know, see how he's doing and offer support that he may need.
And meanwhile, there are the well-check visits to the pediatrician. What is the role here of the pediatrician ensuring that the mental health of not just the mom, but the dad is okay?
So at this point, the American Academy of Pediatrics and some other professional organizations recommend screening new moms and paying attention, routinely assessing over the course of the first year to make sure that if a mom is struggling with postpartum depression, that it gets picked up and you make referrals and help her get connected to treatment. And there is not an expectation at this time that pediatricians will screen the second parent, if there's a second parent in the picture, whether that's, you know, a father or a parent of any gender. And one of the things that I and others who study in this area, and a lot of clinicians do, pediatricians and others, are calling for is that that standard really should change, that we should expect that providers are going to screen all new parents for depression, since the research is really clear that all new parents struggle with higher levels of depression after a baby is born, and that that matters to the child's well-being. So, you know, so we'd like to see that change. And one thing that I think is really cool and promising in the research that I'll just name is that, you know, in addition to having direct ways of screening a parent for depression, if a dad doesn't show up, there are screening tools that you can use to ask his partner a couple of basic questions and get a sense of how the partner's doing, even if he's not at that visit, which could give you an indication of maybe he is struggling. Let's encourage him to come to the next visit so we can talk directly.
I wonder if the questions to a new mom would be different than what would be asked to the dad, whether they're there in person or not. Would the screening protocols be different?
So there's work being done now to create new measures that will be really specifically designed with fathers in mind and responsive to some of the ways that depression might show up differently in men. But at this point, kind of the standard of practice is to use a version of the commonly used screener for mothers and just use those same questions with moms. But you are, I think, absolutely right on in thinking that we need to update those measures to really respond to how fathers present.
How can family, friends, and the loved ones around this circle be helpful in this moment for a parent who's facing postpartum depression?
So I think one thing that's really critical is just even before a baby is born, if you know a family that is expecting a baby, to be part of a conversation that lets everyone know that it is normal to struggle after a baby is born, that it's okay for mothers and for fathers to acknowledge that they're struggling, that depression can affect parents of all genders. So one piece of it is just kind of raising awareness. And sometimes in talking to fathers, they'll say, you know, I didn't know that was a thing. I just knew I didn't feel right. Or I felt, you know, I felt off. I didn't feel like myself. But they sort of don't have a name for it, or think that it rises to the level of something they should seek help for. So sort of getting out in front of it and letting families know that it can be hard, and that if you need help, you should, you know, be talking to your friends and family. We're here for you. If it gets to a point that you are concerned about it, or we're concerned about you, that, like, let's help you get the care you need and get connected to professionals. So I think family and friends and others just have a key role to play in kind of normalizing, raising awareness, and checking in after that baby is born, being sure that you're asking, you know, both parents, everyone who's involved in caregiving, how are you doing? And having those conversations, giving them space to vent, helping them get some rest, all the ways that we, you know, try to show up for friends with new babies, that is a piece of that. We are actually paying attention to the mental health and well-being of all parents.
Mm-hmm. And the food as well at the doorstep. Stepping back here for a moment on the research that you know, dad's involvement in pregnancy and birth and in raising kids increases the likelihood of positive health outcomes for the whole family. Can you tell us more about that research?
Yeah, thank you. So one of the things that I study and others study this as well is the broader role of fathers in maternal and child health. And so one of the things we know is that when a father is involved and supportive, and when a pregnant mom and expecting mom has good support in her life from her partner, that that is associated with reduced stress for the mom and better birth outcomes. For children beginning in pregnancy and in early childhood and across the life course, when dads are involved and have strong relationships and are caring parents to their children, that's associated with better outcomes of all kinds, better social and emotional well-being, better outcomes in school, all kinds of health outcomes. So the role of fathers is really key and is sometimes overlooked, but we're trying to kind of expand the conversation to include all parents and understand that they each have a really significant role to play in child development.
And meanwhile, the education piece of it, what are some resources you would recommend for new dads?
That is a great question. So one resource that I would recommend is checking out the website of a group called Postpartum Support International. And they offer a variety of supports for new fathers, including spaces that are for fathers only, kind of support groups online, virtually. They have resources, numbers you can call to get specifically folks who are particularly trained in fathers' mental health and well-being to who can tell you about local resources and help you get connected to things in your community. So I would recommend PSI as a good starting place.
And meanwhile, in terms of research in this area, where would you like the research to head in coming years?
So one thing that I am excited about that I hope is coming down the pike here in Wisconsin is that we're trying to learn more about the role of fathers during pregnancy and in early childhood. And so one of the sources of data nationally that we use to kind of understand how things are going during pregnancy and understanding mothers' well-being across pregnancy is a national study called PRAMS, the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System. And we are working together with colleagues at Northwestern that they've developed a PRAMS for dads that they've piloted in Georgia and in several states now, and we're working to bring it to Wisconsin. And one of the things that would be really exciting about having PRAMS for dads, in Wisconsin is the chance to understand more about the ways that fathers are involved, want to be involved, could be involved during pregnancy, and some of the health behaviors that fathers have and how they impact families. So for example, if we're looking at something like smoking, if any parent is smoking, that's going to matter for the infant's exposure. If a dad is struggling with his mental health, that's going to matter, as we've talked about, for families. So understanding fathers' physical and mental health at the time of welcoming a new baby will allow us to think about the kinds of interventions that are needed to strengthen families in Wisconsin.
How long would these fathers be followed in this research?
So this one is not a longitudinal study where we follow the fathers, but the idea would be on an ongoing basis to survey new fathers so that year to year we can get a sense of, are we seeing improvement? If we introduce, let's say, a new program that targets fathers' mental health, do we see lower rates of depression among dads in Wisconsin if we're making more help available? So it would let us see how new fathers are doing over time.
Tova, thank you for joining us. Thank you so much for sharing your research.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Tova Walsh is an associate professor at the Sandra Rosenbaum School of Social Work at UW-Madison. She talked with us about how to recognize the signs and get help for paternal postpartum depression. Her new research on the mental health of fathers is published in the journal Health Affairs.
Yesterday on the show, we got a preview of Make Music Day, a global free performance event with about 24 communities in Wisconsin participating this Friday.
And we got reports from participants in Beloit and Madeline Island, and we invited you to share your events.
These are free, so we can give you a plug. We heard from Walter Burt in Madison. He writes, I'll be playing at 11 a.m. in the new, as yet nameless, City Park on the 300 block of West Mifflin Street, between the Madison Senior Center and the Capital Center Market.
Walter says he plays original material on the piano, somewhere between rock and show tunes, with some blues and folk running beneath it all.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and there's still time to plug your Make Music show. Email us, wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.